How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Sirius Satellite Radio, we are available on the radio as well as on the Sports Zone channel. If you've got the Sirius Satellite Radio app on your phone, tune in radio app as well, searching Sports Byline USA, the American Forces Network, the cable radio network. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And for 2 hours, we're going to talk all of the news. We're going to take your phone calls, emails, and more, directing you, of course, to the website WrestlingObserver.com. If you head to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, you will have all of the information about how to contact the show. Right there on the front page, toll-free phone number, 855-478-4478. Toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. That is 855-478-4478. We'll be taking calls in about 20 minutes. So if you are listening, please stand by. Emails to Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Our Twitter handle, at Brian Alvarez. I will be monitoring that throughout the show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. We are joined this week by David Bixenspan of the Figure Four Weekly, a number of other outlets as well. We'll be talking to him today. Mike Sempervivi is not feeling well today. He has a stomach bug, and so he is not going to be on the show today. He will be back next week. So we wish him the best. And of course, we wish the best to poor John Cena, who, if you heard the show last week, we were talking about SummerSlam. It was our lead into the SummerSlam pay-per-view, where Cena was scheduled to face Brock Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight title. And in fact, he did face Brock, and Brock proceeded to give him the worst beating probably in the history of WWE, WWF, WWWF championship matches, at least in terms of a killer heel destroying a babyface. Absolutely destroyed John Cena. We're going to talk about SummerSlam, all of the news, take your phone calls. It's going to be a packed show today. Back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Here to talk all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. If that's you calling right now, you'll be on the phone for a while. We'll take phone calls at about 20 minutes after the top of the hour. Going to do a news segment first, catch people up on what's going on in pro wrestling. Notably, the SummerSlam pay-per-view. There is a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. His name is Brock Lesnar. Destroyed John Cena. And during that break, Bix noted that I was being very sympathetic to Mr. Cena. And Bix, what did you think of that match last week? A very different kind of match.
Yeah, it was very interesting because I think it was a match that a lot of people going in thought would be like this tremendous like match of the year candidate type match like their previous match was. And it was still a great match, but they worked it in such a different way that it was pretty much it was about 16 minutes. I think, yeah, just a squash of Cena the whole way through. But it was just super compelling and dramatic, and it wasn't what people expected, but I think it was much better for it. And Lesnar just beat the hell out of him. Cena took about, I think it was 16 suplexes total, 15 German suplexes, a lot of them right on his head and neck.
Is your house on fire, Bix? Do we need to...
No, I think that was a fire truck nearby, but it seems like it just passed.
Okay, go on. Just wanted to make sure we didn't need to have an emergency situation here.
No.
Okay.
No. So, where was I? I think it was better for not being a give and take match, both just because it was unique and it helped Lesnar. And my God, Lesnar is now, when was the last time they had a heel this hot? I mean, they've had baby faces hot, but when was the last time they really had a serious, strong heel like this?
Well, I think one of the keys to it is Lesnar physically. Lesnar physically, and based on his background, UFC and amateur wrestling, and obviously his first WWE run, he physically looks like what you would want in a killer heel champion. But obviously, look is only part of it. The fact that they let this guy go in there and just completely obliterate the top star of the past decade. I mean, hey, if you want to get if you want to get a killer heel over to set up Roman Reigns' championship win, likely at WrestleMania this year, I mean, there's no better way to do it. The question is, and I'll ask you, Bix, they're doing the rematch. They've already announced the rematch. They announced it on Main Event on Tuesday, and it's taking place at Night of the Champions. And obviously, the question is, what do you do in that match? Because Cena cannot win. I mean, he can, but it would be a terrible idea. So Cena can't win the match. Lesnar should still be, if the idea is that you want a dominant heel champion for Roman Reigns to beat, I mean, Lesnar should still come out of this looking like a killer. You don't really, I don't think, want to destroy John Cena two times in a row. So how do you book this rematch?
I don't know. I think it was not the best idea because, you know, it wouldn't be the first time this year where they didn't give a rematch because they didn't do a rematch of the WrestleMania main event. So they didn't have to go with their usual storyline of, oh, the champion gets an automatic rematch, et cetera, et cetera. But then again, I'm not sure who you would have put Lesnar against at Night of Champions, which they need right now with the whole, with the network 6-month commitment coming up for the people who subscribed right around. I guess, when during September's Night of Champions, what day?
Night of Champions, let's find out here. Night of Champions 2014 is September 21st.
Okay, so it'll be about a week or so before or in that range of people who signed up specifically for WrestleMania, when their 6-month commitment's going to be up. So you need something strong, and the idea that Lesnar is going to would be someone that you can only see on pay-per-view on WWE Network, it's a really good selling point right now where they kind of do need additional selling points. But yeah, I don't know who else would you put against him right now?
Against Lesnar?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good question. That's why the next month, to me, it is very important to build somebody up over the course of the next month that is ready to step in after September 21st. This is a terrible guy to use. I would not use Rob Van Dam. That's not the guy. But they did, for a while at least, they gave Rob Van Dam a big win on television. They followed up with a big win on pay-per-view. And then I think another big win on television. He'd won 3 times in a row. And they did a WWE.com story about it, which kind of tells you what their mid-card is like right now. A guy wins like 2 or 3 matches in a row and they do a story on it. But, you know, I didn't think they were going to go with RVD. But when they did that, they did so much for it that it was kind of like, why are you building up Rob Van Dam so big? And then they proceeded to just, you know, beat him on SmackDown. But the point of this is, I mean, whatever you're going to do, you should be starting like, or you should have already started. I don't know who it would be, but somebody who got a win Monday, you've got to follow that up with a big win. I don't think it should be Roman Reigns. I don't think that it should be RVD, obviously. I don't really know who it should be, which is kind of a problem with their booking right now.
Yeah, I mean, if I think back, if they had planned this in advance, I think the best person would have been Cesaro, just to kind of keep the Heyman thing going. And then you would have the turn, and then again, I guess Lesnar would need to run through him, so maybe not, but something like that, or build up Sheamus a little more. I think there were things they could have done if they had planned further in advance for some kind of fresh match for Night of Champions, but I mean, it's not like it's a bad match, but it's just what you do with Cena. Because you don't want to do the exact same match. You don't want to have Cena win. You don't want to have Cena get too much offense on Lesnar. So I think you do a similar match. Maybe Cena gets comeback. He gets some hope spots and Lesnar just cuts him off this time. And maybe, you know, he gets a little more of a shot and Lesnar cuts him off. I don't know how else you do it.
Bring him down.
Brought this up, I've got to figure out who he's going to be facing. I'm looking at the Looking at the roster right now, who could face Brock Lesnar? When I go down this list, Adam Rose, no. Bad News Barrett, obviously hurt. As I look over this list right here, I mean, the pickings are slim. You could have done... Cesaro would not have been the worst. I mean, Cesaro actually would have been great if they would have stuck with Cesaro as the Paul Heyman guy. And, you know, the storyline was like so simple. I thought they were doing it, which is that Cesaro finally gets sick of having to hear Lesnar constantly talking about Brock's big win at WrestleMania, since, of course, Cesaro won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which was supposed to be a big win. So Cesaro gets angry. He turns on Heyman. He becomes a babyface, and you can do a program with him and Brock. But if you watch television of late, I don't think that one's happening. And Daniel Bryan would be a possibility, but he's out. Dean Ambrose would be a possibility. He's out filming a movie. Maybe Dolph Ziggler, but highly, highly unlikely. Just because I just can't even see them doing that match. Kane is a heel. I don't even know. I have no... Maybe Mark Henry, of all people. Because Brock did lay out Mark Henry earlier this year, and Mark Henry never got his revenge. But I can't imagine that being like the main event on a supposed pay-per-view. So,
well,
yeah.
Well, you know what, though? Mark Henry's popped buy rates the last few pay-per-view main events he was in. So... it's not the worst idea in the world if you're putting him against Lesnar and you build it up strong.
Well, he's facing, I suppose if you really wanted to do Mark Henry, you could do Henry versus Rusev at the next pay-per-view, and Henry beats Rusev and ends the streak, Rusev's streak. He's the American hero, and then you set him up for a couple-month program with Brock. We'll talk about this more after the break. We'll take your opinions as well. Twitter, phone calls, etc. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. As we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your phone calls now, 855-478-4478. That is toll-free, U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. And we got a caller on the line right now, so let's check this out. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Ed, what's up?
Hey, I'm going to steal Jim and Virginia's thunder, and I'm going to talk about the Shine Eye pay-per-view that was on Friday night.
He's going to be very upset, Ed. Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, because I actually watched it. I'm pretty sure he just read about it.
Wow.
But it was a good show overall. They had the last appearance of Jessica Havoc before she goes to TNA. She beat Allison Kay in a dog collar match. Was actually very hard hitting, and they just beat the crap out of each other. They had a really good championship match between Ivelisse against Nevaeh, but they did have some bad, and whoever's booking the tag team championships for this company, they started off really great because they had a tournament. They had Mia Yam and Liva Bates win the championships, and they were having a good run. And then the last pay-per-view, they had them get upset by the team of Legendary, which was two 50-year-old ladies. And I figured, okay, they're trying to make it look like anything can happen. They're having the rematch this time. Liva and Nia looked great. And unfortunately, they ended up losing by interference from Thunder Kitty. And Legendary is still the champions. And I think they're making this big mistake because you could have built this awesome tag team of Mia and Liva and had them have a good run and establish their tag titles. And they're blowing it. I don't know why they have. I mean, no disrespect to Malaya Hosaya and Brandywine. They were good in their day, but
Malaya Hosaya.
Keep up and yeah, she used to be awesome. But
you mean Malaya Hosaka? Like, Hosaka, Ed.
Malaya Hosaka. I'm sorry. Okay, it's a hard name to pronounce.
You spelled it wrong verbally.
She blew like three spots in a row. Somehow, Liva and Mia saved it. Got a decent match out of them, but. Whoever's booking that tag team thing for Shine, they really need to get their head out of their butt and and get the titles back on me and Leva. As far as the rest of the card was pretty good. They usually do have good shows for the most part. Yeah, it was a decent show.
And why are you not, why have you never considered, like, booking your own women's promotion?
Really just because I don't have the money. If I like won the lottery, I would definitely be buying, if not starting my promotion, at least getting Shimmer to come out and run some shows down here or something.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea of a Kickstarter to start your own? You and Jim maybe could make a run at it together, although you've begun feuding with him, it sounds like, here on the air.
No, I'm actually a big fan of Jim. And if Jim wants to hear about a couple shows that where they brought in a lot of women's talent, to check out my last, not this past week, but the week before my last podcast, Over the Top Radio, where I talk about a couple shows where they brought in Mia, Leva, Athena, Sue Young, a bunch of other girls. But Jim's just cool. I like Jim. But I did try to start a Kickstarter once to have an event in Vegas for the convention. Unfortunately, Dave put the kibosh on that.
Oh, man. Well, I heard some of your ideas, Ed. I would have put a kibosh on it myself.
But anyway, that's all I wanted to talk about. Thanks for taking my call, Brian.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Ed. Man, that was more self-promotion in one call than I've heard in quite some time right there. But hopefully Jim is listening, and he will call later to defend himself. Now, during the break, you were looking through the roster, Bix. Mm-hmm. And you've come to a conclusion about Lesnar's next contender.
Well, basically that if they didn't do all the 50-50 booking and stop starts and all that, if there were guys that, if you just had a bunch of guys that were kind of at a steady upper mid-card level, there are plenty of guys that you could put in against Lesnar if you worked to elevate him for a month or so. Like, if they kept Big E or someone like that at a certain level, you know, Big E physically matches up great with Lesnar. I think they could have a great match, but there's no way you can do that right now. That would be ridiculous.
You know, the problem, you know, I think part of the problem is as much as I thought it was awesome how Brock just like completely destroyed John Cena, he destroyed him in such a way that to me, Brock kind of comes off now as a guy who's just like so far above everybody else that no other contender besides the very, very, very tippy top guys seems like it would even be like a fair fight. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like the idea, you look at all the 50-50 booking of everybody on this roster and you just start running down names here like the Usos or Swagger or anybody on the roster, Fandango, Ziggler. And the idea that any of these guys are going to be competitive with Brock Lesnar, it's almost like, really? This is, I don't buy this for a moment. And I could do that with virtually every single person here on this roster.
Well, like you said, it wouldn't be a good idea unless it was a tippy top guy. That's because only the tippy top guys are the ones who are protected anymore.
Well, that's right.
But protected at all. I mean, they don't even try. I mean, just so many non-title losses for the champions and stuff that there's not even a reason to do it because it never builds up anything.
Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Joel from from Irvine. Now with SummerSlam gone and Brock Lesnar being champion, like, I don't really see anybody as a believable threat to, you know, beat Lesnar because now he's portrayed, like you guys said, about him being a killer heel. Like, you know, I just, like, I never seen anybody that bad ever since, like, you know, I'm trying to, like, Nitro, like, Bokov, you know?
Yeah, I that's the whole debate we've been having. Who is next for this guy? I can ask you and Bix as well, since somebody mentioned on Twitter, what about the return of Dave Bautista?
I mean, like, I guess that could work, but I don't know how the fans will react to him since, you know, his last one was kind of shitty, you know?
Yeah, language on this show, please. But yes, you are correct about that. And he is coming back soon, so he may be next in line after Cena.
Yeah, I mean, like, one thing's for sure, like, John Cena does not need another reign. Like, he's been already a 15-time world champion, nearly surpassing Ric Flair, so.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Bix, what do you think?
I think, when was the last time you had swearing on the show?
Well, hopefully not for another 10 years.
Yes. I'm not even sure what to do. I don't know what they do with Who do they even do put after Cena? I mean, they.
Well, Batista is the question.
Well, but. Well, when is he coming back? That was what I was curious about.
Well, he should be back any time. I mean, I don't know like an exact date, but I mean, if you're going to. If you want to do the rematch and then he shows up the next day on Raw as the next challenger, I mean, you can either do that or you could bring him back like Monday. And then he destroys people on television for the next few weeks, destroys someone at the pay-per-view, and then it makes better sense for him to come in. The question is it a bigger deal if he beats a bunch of men to get the shot, or is it a bigger deal than he just shows up as a big babyface and makes the challenge?
I think you can do that. I think you just have to be sure that Lesnar is strong enough of a heel that the crowd will treat Batista like a babyface, which I think they're at that point, but... There is a little bit of hesitation when I say that. I'm not sure. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. His movie is such a hit, and I think a lot of people have seen it, and he's been gone for a while. And I think that if he comes back and if you do it right, I mean, listen, here's my comparison. Let's look at Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger was portrayed as a mid-card geek forever, as a heel. And one day, he happened to be the guy that came out as the American hero, and he challenged Rusev. And it was like the right day, the right time, the right crowd. And all of a sudden, Jack Swagger... if you remember some of those angles they did on Raw and some of those spots where he got Rusev in the ankle lock, I mean, Jack Swagger, all of a sudden, because of the timing and the way they set it up, he was a big deal. Jack Swagger, of all people. So no matter what people thought of Batista in his last run, I mean, the reality is that Batista is a big star. He's a big name. Part of the reason people turned on him was because they wanted Daniel Bryan in that spot. And the company was insistent on putting Batista there. Daniel Bryan's not going to be around, maybe even for a year, everybody. He may need surgery that would put him out a year. So with no Daniel Bryan there and really no other contenders for Brock, I mean, if you bring the guy back the right way, I think it can really work.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it's just a little bit of hesitation, but I think, and like you made a good point with the movie. A whole lot of people have seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I haven't seen it yet. He's supposed to be really good, very likable in it, especially. He's been very likable in all of his media for the movie. I think that should be enough to turn him. Plus he left as a babyface, and that segment came off well. So I think it's doable.
This person here says, what about the Backlund Sheik match? Why am I the only person saying this? He's doing this comparison to Lesnar and John Cena. Have you seen that match?
Oh, yeah. But, well, you have to remember, though, that the storyline was that Backlund came in injured. Iron Sheik injured him.
Hold that spot real quick. We'll be back in just a moment and talk more about that. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi. No, we're not. We're joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi out this week with a stomach ailment. He'll be back next week on the program. So much stuff to talk about here today. It is Wrestling Observer Live every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports, Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are on the Sports Zone channel on your Sirius Satellite Radio app. We are on TuneIn Radio, searching Wrestling Observer Live, the American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, and so much more. And of course, if you only hear this show once a week, you are missing out. Daily radio shows up at WrestlingObserver.com, usually two shows a day. We're up later on tonight. Myself and Vinny got a big show tonight. We've got Ring of Honor to talk about. We have SmackDown to talk about. We have NXT to talk about. And yes, it is the return of Wang to talk the MTV Video Music Awards. So this is going to be a big one tonight. Only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. It is $10.99 a month. If you sign up for a long-term subscription, it is as low as $9.99 a month. So check it out. There are not only brand new radio shows every single day, and I'm talking every single day, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives, which means we have triple the amount of content of the WWE Network. You will never, ever run out of audio. If you love audio, if you listen on the way to work, in your cubicle, to and from, in traffic, wherever you listen to your audio, you will never run out at WrestlingObserver.com. All shows of the same audio quality you're hearing right now, this is being done in the home studio. So check it out over there at WrestlingObserver.com. And join the fun. If you like this show, I guarantee you that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. And I want to throw out as well, Bix is up on Twitter, at David Bix. So check him out. I'm up at Brian Alvarez. We'll be checking these Twitters all evening. And as noted in the bumper, we're taking phone calls, 855-478-4478. The phone lines are full, so let's get to some of these right now. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Oh, man, Jim, we've been waiting. What's up?
Oh, I heard Ed from San Antonio talking about this Shine 21 pay-per-view. Yeah, he was right. I didn't get a chance to see it, unfortunately, but I kept up with it on ring bells. Yeah, it was a good card from what I've seen. I do agree with him about the switch of the tag team belts. I thought the Lucha Sisters, Mia Yim, and Leva Bates were doing great. I don't see the way they did it, putting it on Brandywine and Malaya Osaka. I don't understand that booking myself.
Go ahead, Bix.
I have an idea. This is just a guess, but you have to remember with Shine, they fill out the cards with people who are in town, and I'm going to tread lightly here, who are in town to do photo and video shoots for who was it that's the promoter? Lexi Fife, I think.
Lexi Fife, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, for her company. So it's possible that if they have it set that maybe they know they're not going to be at the next shows for whatever reason, maybe they have conflicting bookings with when that's set up, maybe that's why they switch the titles. And that's just 100% guess on my part, but that's what dictates the talent. That's what dictates who's on Shine shows. So keep that in mind. If someone's not on a specific Shine show that you wanted to see, that's why, because they're not in town for that.
Well, that makes some sense. Well, the finish of the dog collar match was incredible, as Jessica Havoc put Allison Kay through a table with air raid crash on the second rope.
That sounds terrifying.
I know it does. Do you think the TNA girls could handle that?
Well, we'll soon find out.
I have heard rumors, spoiler alert, she's already been causing havoc already.
I believe she is already there, yes.
Well, let's go for one little thing. What did you think of Stephanie and Brie Bella?
I thought that their SummerSlam match was like a good wrestling match. I thought that it was, you know, an agent was told we want these girls to have a good match. Stephanie's really motivated. So put together a real good match for them. And I think that's exactly what the agent did. My only problem is that it was supposed, think of all of the things that these girls did to each other. They had each other arrested. Stephanie paid off some girl to claim that she'd had an affair with Bree's husband. I mean, the idea that they went in there and were doing, like, holds, headlocks, and arm wringers, it was like, that's not what this match should have been. It was a very good match, but it was not the kind of match that I was expecting.
Well, Brian, do you really want to see Brie throwing working punches?
Hey, she could throw an elbow or a kick or I don't know, something.
I mean, do something outside the ring or something. I know what you're saying.
So that was my only, but I thought they both did a very, very good job. Stephanie did great.
I did too. What do you think about them switching the Divas title back again?
It doesn't really matter, to be honest with you.
Okay.
In my opinion. It was fine. I like both girls, so I think that either one of them.
Too, you know. They're both doing a real, real good job. So Havoc, he debuts this Wednesday night or next Wednesday night?
I don't know, actually. The way they tape, she may not debut until January. I'm not sure.
One last thing. Any news on TNA getting any kind of deal?
Actually, yeah, that happened this week, so we should talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk. All right, thanks so much, Jim. Here on Women's Observer Live, this program. We got to talk about Backlund. We've got to talk about TNA, but let me take this call. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Chris in Las Vegas.
What's up?
Well, I know I've called before and I've talked about the fact that I teach and I work with kids. And then you were talking about Jack Swagger earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jack Swagger first turned, the kids weren't talking about Cena. They weren't talking about Roman Reigns. They were all about Jack Swagger. He was the man. Until I went to Raw this last week and I started asking around and went from Jack Swagger and they started calling him Jerk Swagger.
Wow. What fickle kids. What are you teaching?
He was the guy that, go ahead.
What are you teaching? Are you like fifth grade or something like that?
Second grade.
So second grade.
Like, kids are like eight.
Oh, man, they're even more fickle. Jerk Swagger just because he let down this country, really?
Yes, they were told. We even watched. Even my cousins, because I went to them in the SummerSlam, and I was like, look. I was like, he didn't even tap. And they're like, doesn't matter. He lost. He's a loser. And that quickly, he went from the man to not the man.
Man, these wins and losses really matter to these kids, don't they?
Yes, they do.
What
it would be interesting, because when they were all like, all the kids were like, ah, it's all about Jack Swagger. And I'm like, really? I was like, that quick? And so they WWE, had, I think, had something amongst kids, and they don't anymore.
What did the youngsters think of John Cena being flattened like a pancake?
They were very sad.
Oh, really? Man, but they didn't call him like Jerk Cena?
No, they did not.
Job Cena?
He lost a lot worse than Swagger did.
He did. He got completely obliterated by a monster. Wow. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Keep me updated on what the kids are into these days, because I'm out of the loop. I'm old.
All right, I will.
All right, thanks so much for the call. All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Nope, no, you're not on the air. Okay, first off, your comments on the Backlund match.
Yeah, that was hyped with an angle where Iron Sheik injured Backlund. I mean, it's not uncommon to do a semi-squash match after an injury angle. I mean, this was just Brock dominating him, you know? I mean, I was trying to think of similar matches, and I remember I think I tweeted last Sunday night after SummerSlam that there was an All-Japan match where Vader beat Misawa for the title. I don't think now that was an injury angle beforehand, but I think even that it was because Misawa was already injured. And I think that was something that was kind of known. So just the heel, just straight up squashing babyface like that is very rare. And I think it's really just the examples that Dave Meltzer tried to come up with. And I think the only one he really thought of was, when Kamala first started out in Memphis and beat Jerry Lawler. Cause he also mentioned when Vader started in Japan, when he beat Antonio Inoki in a few minutes. And even then, that was after Inoki had just had another match against Riki Choshu. So it is a very, very unique match in that sense. Now, also, TNA, since we did get a question about that, why don't you explain it, and then I'll chime in.
Well, what basically happened is their contract expires at the end of September. But apparently Spike is willing to allow them to stay on the network on a week-to-week basis. I had actually heard this. We may have even talked about it on this show. It was unofficially, but from the WWE side, their belief was that Spike and TNA would probably continue to do business through the end of the year, with the idea being that Spike does not have any interest in pro wrestling. Which, by the way, to be fair, I mean, this could be a negotiating ploy to try to sign TNA at a drastically reduced rate. But they're saying that they have no interest in pro wrestling. They're not going to start a promotion. They're not going to sign another promotion. They're just done with wrestling. But they are willing to give TNA a home for a few extra months while TNA attempts to sign a deal with another network. And as Dave noted on Observer Radio last night, apparently there is at least one potential option that TNA has available. It would be at a much lower level than Spike TV. I don't know what the network is, But apparently there is an option for TNA. So as much as the announcement that Spike was not re-signing looked like, I mean, I can't even tell you how many people emailed me, texted me, oh my God, you're going to have to write another book. Death of TNA, have you signed the book deal yet? I mean, it's I honest to God think they're going to end up somewhere. I don't think they're dead. I don't know anything 100%, but that's just kind of what my gut says. So that's the latest on, I mean, they're on TV for a while still. Wednesday nights, they have switched to Wednesdays just completely out of nowhere. But until we hear something set in stone about a new outlet, it's just in a holding pattern.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure what to think about the Wednesday night thing because people can, and they have, interpret it one of two different ways. Either A, why would they move it now when... if the show is going to be canceled anyway, so it's a good sign, but or also, well, it's what a lot of networks do when a show isn't doing well, that they put it in a different slot so they can put something that does better ratings in the show's original slot. And you got to remember, Impact was on Thursdays. Thursday is the big TV night because of ads for movie openings on Friday. So Thursday is a night you would want to prioritize.
Let me say something about Thursday. Thursday, they're going to run up against football. And to me, you know, you could say maybe Spike's idea is we move it to Wednesday. After a few weeks, the audience will switch over. They'll be doing 1.5 million viewers on Wednesday. And if they go up against football, that number is going to be drastically, you know, they're going to get shafted there. So we may as well move it to Thursday. That's a fine theory. But to me, if that's why you're moving it to Wednesday, why don't you promote it for like 3 weeks before football season really kicks off? Say like on September, whatever September would be, on September 3rd, we're moving to Wednesdays, as opposed to what they did, which is just like, you know, at the end of the show on the 14th, they said, we're not on the air next week in this time slot. We're moving to the, it was so last minute and so immediate that it really makes me wonder, what was the point of this? I'll let you talk about this when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And a short segment here, but Bix, your thoughts on, more thoughts on the Impact move to Wednesday.
Well, like we were starting to talk about a little bit, it was so last minute, and it was so last minute that there was not even a Mike Tenay and Taz voiceover alluding to this. It was just a little, you know, a little just billboard bumper that they put up after the show was over. And they've done a lot of very last minute changes to those shows. I mean, this could have come down that day. I mean, when was it? Do you recall if it was announced that day or when the move?
I think it was announced Thursday.
So, right. It was announced the day that aired.
Yes.
So they did not, they, from that, it seems like they probably didn't actually decide until that day either. So it could be seen as lame duck. It could be seen as a good thing. We're not going to know for a little while. As far as the extension through the end of the year, obviously that's a much better sign for TNA. But again, we had heard it could happen. Spike, I guess they felt their stock kind of dropped with how kind of mean-spirited, or however you want to put it, they were when WWE decided they weren't going to stick around several years back, and they're trying to be the best possible partners they can on the way out. But it's obviously a good sign, but it does seem kind of like a lame duck period, too. So I don't know. I mean, and then there's the whole thing that they're going to, now we know they're going to be doing a TV taping in September in Pennsylvania that's going to go past Bound for Glory, which now looks to be kind of a lame duck pay-per-view. And very weird promotion right now. I mean, it still feels like a dying promotion. They don't have any house shows scheduled past. Actually, I think the last one happened, but it still looks bleak. It's better than it was a week or so ago, but it still looks bleak.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to our hourly break. We'll be back with another full hour of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts discussion, your phone calls and more. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're available on the cable radio network. Tune in radio, searching Wrestling Observer. Sirius Satellite Radio app, searching Sports Zone. American Forces Network, cable radio network. Anything I'm forgetting? The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show anywhere in the world. Spent the last hour talking a lot of stuff, including everybody calling about women's wrestling. Which has become a thing on this show for some reason. We'll be taking your phone call starting the next segment as well. Toll free, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. If you're listening on your Sirius satellite radio and you see a number, a phone number to call on your screen, do not call that number. Call this number, 855-478-4478. As noted, after the next commercial break, we will start taking phone calls again. We were talking a lot about TNA, and I was sent an email here from Fred, who noted that if you go to WWE.com right now, on the very front page, there is an article on superstars getting taken out. It says, Seth Rollins curb stomped Dean Ambrose off the face of the earth on Raw, but the Architect isn't the first superstar. By the way, that's his nickname, The Architect. Like, he works on buildings. He's not the first superstar to go overboard and sending a message. You can see superstars at their most ruthless, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the point of this is the very first graphic that you see for this article right here on the front page of WWE.com is Kurt Angle, of all people, putting a very young Randy Orton in the ankle lock. And that, of course, I'm sure will feed rumors. Kurt Angle's deal is up very soon. Kurt Angle would love to go back to WWE. He probably isn't, but this is going to get people talking. We'll talk about it more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Bunch of notes to get into here today. First off, a big hello to everybody listening to us on Monday. For those of you listening live, this show replays every Monday from 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. You can listen to a replay there. And hey, if you're listening on Monday, you can listen to this show live every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Also want to mention, we are taking phone calls at 855-478-4478. And I have been alerted by Bix that if you are outside of the United States and you would like to call this show, do not use the old Skype line. I will not be taking Skype calls on this show. But because this is a toll-free number, try Skyping 855-478-4478. And I believe you will be able to get through to this program. So if you want to give it a shot, once again, outside the U.S., Skype us at 855-478-4478. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Richard from Montreal.
Richard, what's going on?
First off, I'd like to put over your 1,000th issue of Figure Four. It was a very fun read.
Thank you. I very much appreciate that. We'll talk about that here in a moment.
It was good old school style.
It was very old school.
Do both of you see Batista getting a title shot, and will he be a big baby face?
Well, we were talking about that a bit in the first hour. We were going through the roster trying to figure out who could be next for Brock.
Oh.
And the pickings are slim. But I do think there is a fairly decent chance that he will come back as a babyface and be a challenger for Brock. So I think you probably will see that, yes. All right, anything else? I believe he has dropped off. All right, well, I want to thank you very much for the call. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
I'm John from Arkansas.
John, what's up?
Oh, not much. I'm just here, you know, U.S., a while back, whether or not younger kids would be interested in somebody like Sting. And I've been watching the WWE Network a lot with my nephew, who's about 9, and I asked him a while back if he'd be interested in seeing Sting. in a WWE ring, and he said yes, and he said he'd like to see him with, who was it? Was it Bray Wyatt? Bray Wyatt.
Sting and Bray Wyatt. How about that?
No.
Well, I know that Sting wants a match with The Undertaker for WrestleMania, and I don't know if he's going to get it. I saw a photo of Undertaker recently, and man, God bless the guy. He looked about 200 years old. I don't know if he's going to do another match. And if he doesn't, I don't see a big problem with doing a Sting-Bray Wyatt match. Bix, what do you think about that? Bix, if you're there, your mic is down.
About that, accidentally pressed the mute button again. It's not the worst idea in the world because it seems like Sting, part of the appeal of the Sting Undertaker match is just the way that people see the characters and the way people see black and white Sting as, you know, not quite mystical the way Undertaker is, but sort of the same vibe, if you get the idea. And Bray Wyatt is the kind of the best successor to that. And if it can't be Undertaker, Bray Wyatt is not a bad idea, although it's not a dream match, though. And if this is going to be Sting's only match back, it seems weird to not do anything that's, you know, it should be a dream match of some kind, whether it's Cena, someone, just someone who fits, who's a legend, because I just don't see the point. It seems like kind of a waste of it if it's his only WWE match ever.
Caller mentioned Figure Four Weekly issue 1000. If you are a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, you can go up there right now and click the little link right there, and you can check out Figure Four Weekly issue number 1000. If you have been reading since the beginning, if you're one of the lucky 37 that got issue number one, this is for you. If you were ever a subscriber, if you remember some of the different features we had back in the day, the Fan of the Week, for example, the Frank A. Gotch Flying Mare Wrestling Newsletter, you will really enjoy this throwback issue. And it was funny when I was putting it together, Bix. People have often asked, like, oh, man, Brian, could you write some of the TV reviews again? They were so funny. Or can you bring back Frank A. Gotch? And I always said, I don't think you guys realize how much work this was. Once the website started going, once I was doing all of the online stuff and I was doing all of the radio shows and everything like that, you got to remember that prior to 2005, from 1995 to 2005, all I had to do all week long was write a newsletter. I didn't have any other responsibilities with Figure Four Weekly. All I had to do was write the newsletter and get it mailed out. I had a full week to do it. And once I started the website and the radio shows, I can tell you after this past week, putting together a 4-page throwback newsletter, I could not do this every week. It's just not possible. It was so much work. And granted, a lot of it was just completely recreating issue number one, because if I recall correctly, I put that together on, I believe it was Microsoft Publisher, which I don't even think exists anymore. Maybe it does. But certainly, like, none of those files exist. So it's not like I just took the template for the first issue and redid it. I had to redo the entire template from scratch, which
I figured you just had the same template.
Nope. I had a paper copy of it, and I had to go in to InDesign and recreate the entire first issue of the newsletter and then write it. So, like, the Frank A. I had to find the old Frank A. Gotch picture again. I actually took a photograph of the masthead because I couldn't recreate that. And I had to turn that into a graphic file and create a brand new masthead. That was a lot of work. So, hopefully I've got a lot of great feedback that people that have really loved it. So, I hope people loved it because a lot of work went into it. And no, I could not do something like that on a weekly basis. It's impossible at this point in my life.
You know, I have a question about the early days of the newsletter, because I was trying to think back and remember when I first heard about it. And I want to say it was in Wrestling Then and Now, which was Evan Ginsberg's old monthly newsletter.
Yes.
And this, I believe, was before you and Dave Meltzer were in business together. And this was when Evan was in a very anti-Dave Meltzer place. And I remember he plugged it in this sense, like, Brian knows what's going on because Brian's an actual independent professional wrestler. And I'm thinking back, though, when do you feel that you became an actual independent pro wrestler? Because this was still the Youth Wrestling Federation days when you started.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. I always said that I started that my professional wrestling career started in 1998 because I started doing backyard wrestling, which actually was not in a backyard. It was in a gymnastics facility. I started doing that in 1990, if I recall correctly. It was a long, long time ago. And by 1992, 1993, we were running shows. We had a weekly television show, episodic television show. There was a new episode every week. I edited them all together. They were half-hour episodes. We had matches, we had storylines, we had belts, and when I go back and watch some of the matches, I mean, I'll just say that looking back in 2014, when I look back at what a lot of professional wrestlers consider the beginning of their career, to be fair, I could say today that the beginning of my career was actually probably around 1992, because a lot of what I was doing back then was no different than what a lot of independent promotions are doing today. The only difference was there was no ring. I mean, I had been trained. By 1992, I had been training up here with Ole Olsen, who was an old local wrestler. He had a ring, and I went there, and I trained with him. And he showed me some basic, you know, old school hammerlock stuff and everything like that. I already knew how to bump and such. So really, my official beginning, to me at the time, was always, if you're not in a ring, you're not a wrestler. So looking back, I probably could attribute my beginning to a little bit earlier, but we'll talk about this more after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live all over the world at WrestlingObserver.com. We've been talking the 1,000th issue of Figure 4 Weekly. Bix is grilling me about the early days. We'll go back to that in just a moment, but I did want to mention, I guess this is breaking news. Bix, if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, there was a WWE ring truck and SmackDown. There was a SmackDown poster talking about the show being on Thursday. And WWE, after this was reported, insisted that this was just a screw-up on the part of somebody, an accident. And it was like, really? How do you accidentally state the wrong day? Well, if you go up to sci-fi.com, they are now officially listing SmackDown as airing on Thursday, starting on October 2nd. So there you go. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Dave from Wisconsin.
What's up, Dave? The now sober Dave from Wisconsin.
Oh, sorry, you broke up there for a moment.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so you guys have been talking a lot about what's next for Lesnar after Cena after Night of Champions. One thing I was thinking of is basically just having Heyman come out and essentially announced that no one is worthy, he's not going to defend, and then they should have a tournament for it. That would be my ideal. The only problem is you'd have to do it very quickly and over a series of pay-per-views, and probably until the Royal Rumble. And with tournaments, I don't really have much faith in WWE. Honestly, I can see them, unfortunately, putting Triple H in that boat, putting him in for the title, trying to reclaim his property.
Well, first off, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to announce that, to do exactly what you said, but I wouldn't rush it. I would say we're doing a tournament, find out who is the toughest guy in this company. It is going to wrap up at the Survivor Series
PLC
pay-per-view.
I would say TLC in December.
You could do that, and then he defends a title in January. I would do the finals on a pay-per-view. I don't think it's the end of the world to do that if you've got some other good matches on the show. I like the idea. I don't think Hunter would be in it, though. That's my guess.
No, I'm saying that's my fear of what they'll go with instead of a tournament is just having Triple H go in there.
Oh, I see. Well, they're kind of aligned right now, so I don't...
Technically, because I mean, the whole thing, Brock Lesnar being a mercenary, but now he can just do whatever he wants to.
I see. So Hunter wants to get the title back.
Yeah, it was essentially just to get it away from Cena or whatever.
I see. What do you think, Dave?
I think a tournament is not the worst idea. I think you'd have to do it very carefully since they have done some tournaments lately, and I think it worked at kind of like the Intercontinental title level with the contender tournaments, because it was Barrett was the last one that won a tournament, right? I think when he won the number one contender to the...
I don't even remember. I think you're right.
That was how he ended up getting the IC title, that he won a number one.
I think you're right.
Tournament.
Yeah.
And it seems like it kind of helped that he was building up this momentum over a few weeks. But, you know, and it was already the right time for him anyway. I think you would need to find a way to make it really special, maybe bring back the King of the Ring name. I mean, I think it's been enough years that the ones that weren't as big a deal could have kind of gone away, and then you could do the whole thing. Bret Hart was King of the Ring, et cetera, et cetera. And then you could perfect, because Lesnar got his first title shot where he beat The Rock by winning King of the Ring. So you build it up that way. I think
well,
that could work.
The only problem is that, in fact... Vince hates tournaments. This doesn't mean you can't do it, because he did King of the Ring forever, but you do have to kind of get over that little issue right there.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking through today's daily update.
Actually, very quickly, anything else, Dave?
Nothing pro wrestling related, but thanks, guys.
All right, thanks so much for the... I actually should have kept him on the line and find out what non-pro wrestling related thing he was going to...
But, so I was looking through today's daily update, and I see that on today's World Wrestling Council show in Puerto Rico, they said that a secret wrestler named Patron was coming in. And this is something I've been wondering about since I read, I think it was this week's Observer newsletter, that... So apparently on all the Spanish language WWE commentary and in the Ricardo Rodriguez intros, everyone on Spanish language WWE programming called Alberto Del Rio El Patron. That was like his name on the Spanish language shows. And if you didn't really pay attention to the Ricardo introductions when they still did them, you know, if you were listening in English, you didn't really have any idea that was his nickname. But that was what they called him. Well, WWE didn't trademark it because I didn't know that was it. So I didn't know why, because now he's in AAA, why they were calling him Alberto El Patron. And that's why. And it looks like WWE didn't trademark it. I think that is as big a proof of anything that they are not in touch with what the Hispanic demographics are looking for from them right now. That this was his nickname. I mean, think about anyone.
Well,
on the WWE
well, let's be fair here. Do you think that they have? Do you think they've trademarked the Architect for Seth Rollins? I would bet not.
I would guess that if they no, I would guess if they're using it and trying to establish it, that they have at least filed for one. Yes,
really. Well, if anybody can do a trademark search, let us know some of these that may or may not have come up. Because I would actually be interested in that. I can't fathom them. Because it's not cheap to trademark something. And they're in cost-cutting mode. So the idea that they're trademarking the Architect, I don't know. I guess it's possible.
Is it really that expensive?
Pretty expensive.
They trademark everything.
I know. It's pretty expensive. To the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Ivan, calling from Scranton.
Ivan, what is happening?
Nothing. How you guys doing? A big fan of the show. I think I've called your show a couple weeks now in a row, and I really love it. I just wanted to say that first of all.
Cool. Thank you.
Second of all, my question for you is, do you think that the WWE would benefit more from going back to less pay-per-views like they used to back in the day? I remember when it was, you know, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, King of the Ring. I actually remember watching the first In Your House when they first started putting in. Because the way I see it is, if you have the problem with Brock Lesnar now, where they're worried about, you know, having a part-time champion. But if they didn't have so many pay-per-views, it wouldn't really matter. They could build all that up. And also, you wouldn't have all these pay-per-views with repeat matches where, you know, Bray Wyatt's fighting Chris Jericho three pay-per-views in a row, because they have to have other things to build on. Do you think that, like, it would put some more of the better stories together, and it would be able to do more with less pay-per-views?
Well, let me say two things. Let me say two things. First off, three things, actually. First off, they're with the new network model. They're really moving away. They see a day where there is no traditional pay-per-view. And so if you're having a WWE network, you kind of have to have a mega event every single month. That's number one. Number two, if you don't want Brock to wrestle on every pay-per-view. To me, it's easier to just not have him wrestle on every pay-per-view than to outright not have a pay-per-view. Because in both cases, he's not wrestling. And if you have the option of a pay-per-view, some people, maybe a lot of people, if you have the right matches, are still going to buy the pay-per-view. Whereas if you don't have a pay-per-view, you're going to get zero buys for that. And if you're doing the network, having a longer time in between pay-per-views, I think it's going to hurt renewals if people come up during a no pay-per-view period. And the final thing, and this really isn't an exactly fair comparison, but for years, when TNA was running pay-per-views every month, the whole thing was, well, half of these pay-per-views do so bad, and they're such money losers, that if you cut the number of pay-per-views, you will no longer be running these money-losing shows, so you'll actually come out ahead, and B, you'll have more people buying the four pay-per-views that you actually do run. And as it turns out, when they cut all of those pay-per-views and they only had four pay-per-views a year, those four pay-per-views still did terrible. They didn't do any extra buys whatsoever. And I think it's because we all remember fondly as children the four pay-per-views a year, and you remember all of them, and there was so much less product. But unfortunately, it's now 2014, and fans have been conditioned to watch one big show a month. And so I don't think that cutting them is going to add anything to the other shows. You're just cutting shows.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. I just had just a little opinion on it. But thank you guys for such a great show, and I look forward to hearing you again.
All right, thanks so much for calling in. Bix, any thoughts on that?
Pretty much agree with you. I mean, I think they do have some room to wiggle with the network. They could do something different. I would not do a show, but I think there are some other things they can do. You know, we've talked in the past about stuff like doing an overseas pay-per-view now and playing around with stuff like that. But I agree with you that they have to do something. That is what's driving subscriptions for the most part. So they have to do something. And by the way, I did look up the architect on the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and there is no WWE trademark for the architect, at least as of yet. And for Seth Rollins, there is just the one.
Maybe there's going to be one tomorrow. If you want the architect, you better get it, everybody. I know what you're going to do with it. That'd be a heck of a gimmick. He's a builder. I guess that's not really an architect, is it? Anyway.
No.
We were discussing issue 1000. It is available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Bix is the lead writer of Figure Four Weekly most weeks. And so we're going to be back to normal, starting with this coming week's issue, TV reviews and everything like that. And any other questions while we're on the topic?
Actually,
hold on. I just heard the music. We're going to head to a break. If you got any other Figure Four questions, we can get to them after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily radio shows. Brand new shows every single day. We got a new one coming up tonight. Myself and Vinny, special guest Wang, will be talking about all sorts of different topics. SmackDown, NXT, Ring of Honor, so much more. We usually do two shows a day. As a subscriber, you not only get all of the brand new shows, but every show that we have ever done is available in the archives right now. So if you sign up this minute, it will be as if you signed up in 2005, because you can get every show that we have ever done. Over 6,000 hours of audio, triple the amount of content as the WWE Network. And if you sign up for a long-term subscription, you can get this website full access, including access to Wrestling Observer Newsletter and Figure Four Weekly and the radio shows and everything else for just $9.99 a month. How can you go wrong? So head up there and check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Join the fun. I've said it a million times. If you like Wrestling Observer Live, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. We are taking phone calls, 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. That is 855-478-4478. 4478. And in fact, if you're listening outside of the USA, you can try giving us a call. Use your Skype to call us toll-free, 855-478-4478. It's toll-free. Let us know if it does or does not work. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Caller, you are on the air. Caller, you have failed. All right, phone number, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. Toll-free U.S. and Canada. And apparently, if you use Skype, it is toll-free around the world. Or at least, if not, I will give you Bix's Twitter, which is at David Bix, and you can chastise him for that. Bix, this week, besides SummerSlam, we really haven't even talked about that show. But Dean Ambrose had a great match at SummerSlam. He had a great match on Raw, and then he was eliminated by The Architect, who, by the way, is not trademarked by WWE. The Architect, Seth Rollins, he laid out Dean Ambrose, stomped his head through styrofoam. Dean Ambrose off to make a movie. What did you think of his matches this week in this angle?
The matches, I really liked both of them. I thought the one on Raw was even better than the one on the pay-per-view. The angle, I didn't even have that much of a problem with the cinder blocks being there, which a lot of people did. But I didn't like that they broke all cartoonish. Like it took me out of it, and it made it feel just too fake and cartoony. That the cinder blocks smashed and exploded when Seth Rollins gave him the curb stomp on it. Because I believe the point of a curb stomp is that you are stomping someone's head against a hard surface.
Well, he so powerfully broke the surface.
Yeah, but I mean, well, part of it is like, I feel like at this point people do realize that going through a table is actually safer. And I guess you could tell me, you've taken bumps, I haven't. I would think feels better because of the way the force is distributed than just taking a bump on the floor. Or a table that didn't break. So I think people realize that now because of the way people react to when the tables don't break. So I think people realize that it just looks less impressive too that they had it break.
Yeah, somebody asked me if I went through a table at my on my match with Buddy last weekend, and I was like, I wish I would have gone through a table. I probably would feel better right now. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Caller, you're on the air. Whoever you are, you're having a serious problem with your phone. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas. How are you, Brian?
What's up, Danny?
Good. I have a couple questions here. Probably best if Triple H ever does another conference call for the next NXT special. Some questions to ask is because SmackDown is moving to Thursdays, like 8 o'clock Eastern. If about the same time that NXT comes on the network,
NXT will move to Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday. Okay, and also that with the roster, NXT roster being crowded, like will this lead to them getting like another hour of television, or maybe making these specials 3 hours because their roster is getting pretty full of talent, not really calling anybody up at the moment. Also,
oh, are you talking the NXT roster? Is it getting too full?
Yeah, is it getting too full? Nobody's being called up. And plus all these new guys coming in and nobody's being called up.
You're right, but I don't know if that necessarily affects. I don't know if I'd go 3 hours for an NXT special. I think 2 hours is a good length of time. Just focus on like the big four matches. Not everybody's going to make it to the NXT special. Only your best talent should make it there. So I guess it's possible they could go to 3 hours. I'd been told that when SmackDown moves to Thursday, NXT would move to Wednesday. So NXT and TNA are going head to head again. It doesn't matter if you've watched the ratings of, Impact opposite NXT specials. It's not like one hurts the other. At least, you know, NXT is not hurting Impact, but I guess it's possible you could do 3 hours or like 2 hours and 40 minutes, like a traditional pay-per-view. What do you think, Bix?
I think it would be too long because those shows always feel just like they went just the right amount of time. I don't see the benefit of it. I mean, yeah, because they always build up very specifically which matches it's going to be. and they always time it out perfectly. And it's really, I mean, it's easier to digest than most WWE, regular main roster WWE shows most weeks, both the weekly show and the even the specials. So I wouldn't change that. I mean, it definitely is a concern, though, that you have a lot of people who are not getting experience of actual practical experience in terms of how to work on a WWE television show. That is an issue, I think. But I don't know what you do to take care of that, because I really don't think they should add an extra hour or even an extra show. I mean, it would be nice if they had their own Derby City Wrestling equivalent or something. I mean, I guess that's not the best comparison, but just something so they're not just working in the performance center and only learning how to work a WWE camera and a WWE crowd there.
Anything else, Danny?
Yeah, and then Tom Phillips worked the SmackDown commentary. Do you know if they're high on him or
he's been moved there? He's a permanent part of the team now.
How long before we get like a Renee Young, Tom Phillips SmackDown team? Then like we get on Pixar.
I like how sad you sounded when I told you this is permanent. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't believe he was permanently moved there, but he was. I have nothing against Tom Phillips. Tom Phillips is my boy, Tom Phillips. But my God, he's a robot.
He sounds exactly like Byron Saxton.
And I guess that's what they want. They want just a bunch of robots. But I'm not into the whole robot thing. I want some personality in my pro wrestling. I know that's probably asking too much from this business to have personality in my ring announcers or commentators. But well, Danny, I want to thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. And there you go. Tom Phillips. I was going to say something before we took that call, and I completely forgotten what we've been talking about here today. Oh, my match. I got to bring this up. You remember the beginning of the show, you were talking about how sympathetic I was for John Cena?
Yes.
I bring that up because I wrestled last Saturday night, and when the match was over, I felt great, and I had so much fun. And the next day, I was here doing the show. It was Super China Buffet Day. It was SummerSlam. I felt great. I have progressively begun feeling worse and worse, and my God, my back was killing me like the last 3 days. I don't know if it was because of the match or maybe it was something I did at the gym, but I've been laying on the tennis ball, my back. So I felt for John Cena in case he also had a 1 week delay and he wakes up today and is just like, oh my God, I feel like I've been hit by a truck, because he was hit by a truck named Brock Lesnar.
So wait a second. Are you saying you were so adrenalized by Super China Buffet Day that is why you did not feel it until the day after?
Hey,
like
I don't have a,
later?
I don't know. I just know that Buddy's wife texted me on Monday, and she says, Buddy wants to know why he feels so much worse 2 days later. And apparently he felt so bad he couldn't even text. But I kind of scoffed, like, ah, come on, you'll be fine. And then my back just started feeling worse and worse. So anyway, I'll be fine, everybody. It's not like an injury or anything like that, but my back is very tight, so I felt for poor John Cena and this destruction that he took at the hands of Brock Lesnar, being suplexed on his head 16 times, one for each championship win he's had, plus one.
You know what you need? What you need is to have a special code like Buddy Landell used to have, where if he didn't wear knee pads, it meant he wouldn't take a bump in the match.
Man, I would have been out there naked. What I think you say is what I need is some blue goo.
No.
All right. What else do we got going on?
They got to get you doing some live reads then. That would be great.
I did that for a while.
Put it on your back.
I did a couple of blue goo live reads for a while on the show a couple of years ago, in fact. And I could actually plug it because I used blue goo, as had my sister-in-law, because she's a dancer. And when she found out that blue goo was a sponsor, she was so excited. Because she said, I've tried all of these and the only one that works is blue goo. And I was like, man, it's like someone's paying her. But anyway, Raw is tomorrow. There is an opening segment with Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, and Ric Flair, which God only knows what's going to happen in that segment tomorrow. But apparently it's a Hall of Fame forum. What does that even mean?
Do you know how WWE is? They really need to stop giving everything names, though. They really do. So now we're going to hear, well, thankfully it's only the first segment, but if an angle happens, and it probably will, we're going to hear all night, fans at the start of this, well, they can't say fans. The WWE universe is in shock at what transpired, because you can't say happened, you have to say transpired, earlier tonight at the WWE Hall of Fame Forum.
I have already figured out what they're going to do, in my opinion. They have all these guys out here, just like what happened a couple of weeks ago for Hogan's birthday. They send out Brock to kill all of these legends. And triumphant John Cena returns, beats the hell out of Brock, sends him packing, and then does his big promo about how he's coming for his belt at the Night of Champions.
Championship. You can't say belt.
I'm sorry. Championships. He's coming for his championship at the Night of Champions.
Well, actually, now, has Flair been cleared to do, if anything?
I think he can do physical stuff. I mean, he was in there punching Bray Wyatt.
Okay, so theoretically, I mean, not that I'd want to put him in with Lesnar, of all people, but theoretically, we could get an angle where he hurts Flair.
Sure, you could do that. Or Shawn. I'm sure Shawn could take an F5.
Yeah, I guess so.
Probably not thrilled at the idea, but he could do it.
Hogan, no, that would be unwise.
No, if Hogan took an F5, we'd be doing the Hogan funeral next week on Raw. That would be a bad, yeah. The idea that Hogan thinks he's going to wrestle again, I would not hold my breath. Because he'll have two fake hips by that time, if I recall correctly. He's 63. Around the time of WrestleMania, even if he thinks that he can go out there, you've got to pass the physical. And I don't think he's passing the physical.
If his finisher wasn't the leg drop, I wouldn't have this much concern, because I'm sure he's smart enough to do a match where he doesn't have to take any bumps. But he's going to want to do the leg drop, and that's a problem.
All right. Stand by, everybody. Back in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixen-Span, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. We air Monday mornings, a replay, 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to noon Eastern. Check us out there as well if you're listening on Monday. Hey, listen live on Sundays, 3 to 6. David, before we go here today, we're nearly out of time. To you, which is more likely for WrestleMania, John Cena versus Hulk Hogan or John Cena versus Rusev?
I don't know, because I would think you'd want to save Rusev for Roman Reigns. So,
well, Roman Reigns, I'm presuming, is facing Brock at WrestleMania.
No, I mean for later.
I see that
I don't know if he's someone you'd want Cena to beat.
So you're thinking that you would be undefeated past WrestleMania this year?
I don't think you put him with Cena before. And if, I mean, I guess either you put him with Reigns before or Reigns after, because you're going to need opponents for Reigns. And then, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. But because then I think if Reigns beats him, I don't know how much he necessarily has for Cena, especially as a WrestleMania match.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this more next week, everybody. We'll be back next week with a brand new live show. I want to thank David here. Mike will be back next week, suffering from a stomach ailment. We wish him the best. All of the folks at Sports Byline USA, we will be up later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Brand new Brian Avenue show, so check it out. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Back again next week, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.